WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Sissy Spacek, is starring in the new movie, In the Bedroom. It just won the Best Director Award from the National Board of Review. Spacek started her career with two films that gained cult followings, Badlands and Carrie. She won an Academy Award for her portrayal of country singer Loretta Lynn in the film Coal Miner's Daughter. Her new film is adapted from a short story by Andre Dubuque and is the first feature film directed by Todd Field. It's the story of a family coming apart. Spacek plays a wife, mother, and music teacher in a small New England town. Her son is an architecture student preparing for grad school. She's worried that his girlfriend is trouble. The girlfriend, played by Marissa Tomei, is an older woman, a single mother separated from her abusive son. In this scene, Spacek comes home to find that her son's been in a fight. Her husband is wiping the blood away from their son's eye.
This was her husband, wasn't it?
Ex. Dropped in.
You gonna press charges?
No.
Well, what's to stop him from doing it again?
Why, did you hit him at all? Come on, tell me you hit him.
Matt.
Just so he doesn't do it again.
I don't think I touched him. Ah, Jesus, Dad.
So what are you gonna do?
Take karate? Oh,
that is not the problem.
Mom, you know you like her.
I like a lot of people, Frank. What about the boys? Did they see it?
No, they were asleep.
Did you leave her alone with him?
He left first. She was yelling at him, and I believe she had a skillet in her hand.
For God's sake. Did you call the police?
Yeah.
You didn't call them?
Well, he just got in. When I had a chance to call the police.
No, Mom, no, don't call them. If you call the police, they'll come over and scare the kids.
Matt?
You gotta call
them. No, we're not calling them. It was a scuffle. That's it. It wasn't serious.
Oh, right, just like the relationship isn't serious.
I don't think I've ever seen you in a role where tension and anger had turned you in some ways very cold and very, very kind of stern. What kind of things did you do to have that tension read on camera? Because it's mostly, a lot of it's visual.
You know, anger has always, it's not something that I have felt a lot in my life, and it was an emotion that was relatively unfamiliar to me. So I think the circumstances that the character experiences, the frustration and helplessness that she felt, is what I kind of keyed off of and for that anger. But that's not an easy emotion for me to feel, because I've been very fortunate in my life and I've not had to feel anger that much.
One of the ways that you express your isolation and your withdrawal from your husband in the movie is by smoking a lot, smoking and watching TV. I always wondered, like, if, say I was an actress, if I had to smoke for a part after having been a smoker in real life, would I get addicted again? Would I allow myself to do that? I'm wondering, like, do you smoke? You smoke very expressively in the film. Do you smoke in real life?
I don't. And I smoked herbal cigarettes, which are really great because they're non-addictive, but they're really horrible because they
horrible to taste.
They're horrible to taste, and I kept thinking, oh, I've got to practice. But I could never even force myself to smoke when we weren't shooting, but as soon as they said action, I just puffed away.
Todd Field, who wrote and directed the film, is a first-time director. What if anything, did you have to do or get from him to convince yourself that you wanted to put yourself in his hands? I mean, he didn't have a body of work you could look at and say, he makes great films.
You know what I think? It was the screenplay so stunned me when I read it. And when I talked to him, I was so, you know, I was just so taken with him. And there just seemed this sense to me that there was a possibility that it really could be something special. And he's very intelligent. He's very intelligent and very perceptive and into nuance and detail. And I can honestly say he's a wonderful actor's director, but I was bowled over by his sense of the visual and the pacing of the film and the, you know, the overview that he had. It's much more sophisticated than one would imagine a first time director.
As you pointed out, you know, the film is set in New England. You're originally from Texas. Tom Wilkinson, who plays your husband, is from England. So you had to work at sounding like a family and sounding like you lived in New England. Though
we
I think
did.
Your character is originally supposed to be maybe from New York.
Yes. It was funny because I think there was probably a moment or two when Todd was very panicked when we walked into rehearsal the first day and he heard our accents and it was just we didn't even sound like we should know each other, much less be a family from New England. But we had a wonderful dialect coach who we kept busy throughout the filming, and she did a great job.
Sissy Spacek is my guest, and she's starring in the new film, In the Bedroom. I want to go back a few years and talk about your film breakthrough in 1973, the film Badlands, which was loosely based on the life of killer Charles Starkweather in the 1950s. The young Martin Sheen plays a very James Dean-like Starkweather, the character based on Starkweather, and you play a naive 15-year-old girl from a small town who goes with him after he kills your father. You narrate the story in a voiceover through the film. Here's an early voiceover shortly after you and Martin Sheen meet.
Little by little, we fell in love. As I'd never been popular in school and didn't have a lot of personality, I was surprised that he took such a liking to me, especially when he could have had any other girl in town if he'd given it half a try. He said that I was grand, though, that he wasn't interested in me for sex, and that coming from him, this was a compliment. He'd never met a 15-year-old girl who behaved more like a grown-up and wasn't giggly. He didn't care what anybody else thought. I looked good to him, and whatever I did was okay. And if I didn't have a lot to say, well, that was okay, too.
What a nice place.
Yeah, the tree makes it nice.
And the flowers. Let's not pick them. They're so nice.
When your character meets the Martin Sheen character in Badlands, he's all kind of like swagger. He's like swaying back and forth in this very sexy way when he first meets you. He's a kind of sexually charged person, and you're somebody who knows nothing about sex and doesn't really comprehend it. Even the first time you engage in sex with him, you still don't get it. It must have been so interesting to play such contrasting personalities in that respect and to have to physically communicate that difference.
You know, I think then I didn't even think of that. You know, I just approached it in its, you know, very simply. That was a girl that I understood. I understood her naivete. I was unsophisticated. There were so many things about her that I understood that I really didn't get into the psychology behind it. Now, I recognize all those things that you're talking about, but I think, really, I was just very right for the role.
I want to move on to another one of your early movies that really established you in film, and that was Carrie. And this is your big commercial breakthrough in movies, made in 1976, based on Stephen King's first novel about a high school girl. And this girl is very awkward and unpopular. She doesn't know the things that most girls know because her mother is a real fire and brimstone fundamentalist for whom every pleasure is evil. The first scene in this was really very brave. Do you want to describe it, or would you rather I did
the
that?
The first scene? What
the shower scene.
Oh, the shower scene. Oh, that was brave. I don't know if it was brave or just insane, but... you know, I fought for that role. And then when they said, okay, you have the role, I remember thinking, oh my God, now I have to do the shower scene.
Let me describe it. In the opening scene, you know, girls are walking kind of naked through the locker room in high school. Then the camera comes, and everything's kind of shot in this dreamy slow motion. Then the camera comes to you. You're in the shower, and you're soaping your body, your breasts, your legs. It's really very dreamy, erotic, and slow. Then blood starts to drip between your legs, and you go into a frenzy. You run out of the shower into the locker room, screaming for help, running with your hands outstretched and covered in blood, and you're knocking into girls like this, and they're running away from you. The girls finally realize you've gotten your first period, and you have no idea what's going on. So they start taunting you and making fun of you by throwing tampons and sanitary pads at you, and you still have no idea what's going on. Did you have qualms about shooting that scene? I mean, you're starting in such a kind of vulnerable and literally naked way.
Oh, horrors, as you describe it. I can't quite even believe that I did shoot that. That was very difficult. I think any scene after the shower scene in Carrie is like falling off a log. I remember talking to Brian and saying, Brian, you know, what is this like? You know, what is this like? And he looked at me and he said, it's like getting hit by a truck. And I thought, okay, it's like getting hit by a truck. And I said to my husband, Jack, who was, you know, who production designed the film, Brian said it was like getting hit by a truck. And he said, well, you know, I got run over by a car once. It was Christmas Eve, and I was walking along the road looking at these beautiful Christmas lights in the window, and I just found a sled, and it was snowy and icy, and he began to describe the night that he was walking home, watching these Christmas lights, and then seeing car lights approach, and that's exactly what I'm thinking. In the shower, I'm soaping myself. I'm seeing Christmas lights, and it's so beautiful and wonderful. And then when I see the blood, I see the car lights coming at me. And this is just proof that anything can work. You can, you know, you just have to be thinking of something. And that's literally what I was thinking. And so it was for Carrie, it was like getting hit by a truck. And I think probably by focusing on that scenario that, I really wasn't in the shower. I really wasn't standing there naked with blood on my hands. I was looking at Christmas lights, and I did there, you know, I had things pretty well spelled out about what could be shown and what couldn't be shown, and so I did have some protection, which is not a perfect choice of words, but you know, at a certain point you can't hold back. You just have to, you know, you have to go with the material, and you have to trust the people that you're working with, or it can't work.
My guest is Sissy Spacek. She's now starring in the new movie, In the Bedroom. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Sissy Spacek. She's starring in the new movie, In the Bedroom. When we left off, we were talking about her 1976 film, Carrie, which has become a horror classic. Let me play a scene right after the shower scene from Carrie. You come home, and you're very angry with your extremist fundamentalist mother for not having told you, not having prepared you for menstruation. Your mother picks up one of her religious books and reads to you from a chapter called The Sins of Women. And as she reads to you from this, she keeps slapping you in the face with the book. The mother is played by Piper Laurie.
You're a woman now.
Why didn't you tell me, Mama?
And God made Eve from the rib of Adam, and Eve was weak and loosed the raven on the world, and the raven was called sin. Said, the raven was called sin.
Why didn't you tell me, Mama?
Said,
no.
The raven was called sin.
Ooh, woman, and the raven was called sin.
And first sin was intercourse. First sin was intercourse.
I didn't sin, Mama.
No. Say it.
I didn't sin, Mama.
First sin was intercourse. First sin was intercourse. First sin was intercourse.
And the first sin was intercourse, Mama. I was so scared. I thought I was dying. And the girls, they all laughed at me and threw things at me.
And
Mama.
Eve was weak. Say it.
No, Mama.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak.
No.
Eve was weak. Say it.
No, Mama.
Say it.
Eve was weak. Eve was weak.
And the Lord visited Eve with a curse. And the curse was the curse of blood.
You should have told me, Mama. You should have told me.
Oh, Lord, help the sinning woman see the sin of her days and ways. Show her that if she had remained sinless, the curse of blood would never have come on her. She may have been tempted by the Antichrist. She may have committed the sin of lustful thoughts.
No, Mama,
oh, don't
no.
lie to me, Carrietta. Don't you know by now I can see inside you? I can see the sin as surely as God can.
No, Mama, you're
we'll pray.
No!
We'll pray,
no,
woman.
No!
Pray
no,
for
no,
a lustful
no,
sin
no,
souls.
No,
God
no,
visiting
no,
curse.
No,
this is the
no, no, Mama, no,
and this is the second curse.
No,
and this is a cursed child, baby. I think God brought pain and sweat and blood. Genesis 3:16.
What we're hearing is your mother dragging you into a closet that she's kind of made over into a little religious shrine and then locking you in the closet. Your mother is played by Piper Laurie. Sissy Spacek, what a great scene.
Oh, my gosh. It just gave me goosebumps.
Do you remember anything about making that scene?
I do. I first and foremost remember that Piper Laurie is just the greatest actress ever. She was just so there. She was such a powerful presence. And really, as you could hear from that scene, she was the crux of that scene. She was the center of that scene, the strength of that scene. And it was a very emotional and it was a very physical scene. I had always loved a film, The Miracle Worker. When I was a child, I loved the scene her being dragged into the closet.
Helen Keller being dragged into the closet.
Kicking and screaming.
Mm-hmm.
And that scene inspired Carrie's behavior, kicking and screaming as she was dragged into the closet.
Of course, in the movie Carrie, you soon realize you have telekinetic powers and you can use them against your mother, you can use them against the kids plotting against you in school. What did you do with your face or with your body when you go into one of these telekinetic trances and start to move objects?
One of the things, my husband was the production designer, and so I was privy to a lot of his research. He did extensive research, and one of the things I did with my body language was I used he had a book that was just filled with a collection of all the etchings of the Bible, the Doré etchings, and they were beautiful etchings, but the people in these biblical etchings were, their body language was very dramatic, you know, on the melodramatic side. And I used the body positions in those etchings, those biblical etchings, to start and finish. I would start a lot of scenes in those positions and then end in those positions, which added some drama, I think. But a lot of the stuff was very technical, you know. At that time, the special effects were very different. Now they would do all those kitchen utensils going into Piper digitally, but the way it was done then was on little wires that were connected to a harness that Piper wore underneath her clothes. And the utensils would start at her, and then they would be pulled backwards away from her. They would start in her and be pulled away from her. And then the film was reversed.
Oh.
And quite a lot of the, you know, quite, I have to give Brian and his team, you know, the credit for those things working, because a lot of it was technical. I remember two things. Once in the, you know, when I was on stage and they dumped the blood on me, and, the, you know, I remember Brian said, okay, now just open your eyes wider. And when I'm having my death scene, I'm just in the closet, I'm dying and dying and dying. And Brian leaned down into the closet. They were shooting from up above, and he finally said, just die, Sissy. So I just died.
Sissy Spacek will be back in the second half of the show. She's now starring in the movie In the Bedroom. It's opened in New York and L.A. and opens in 20 other cities Christmas Day. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Sissy Spacek. She's starring in the new film In the Bedroom. She also starred in Badlands, Carrie, Coal Miner's Daughter, The River, and The Straight Story. Your brother died of leukemia while you were in high school. He was an older brother?
16 months older than me.
Were there things that your parents tried to do to protect you from the awful pain that he was suffering and to protect you from the agony of loss?
Well, actually, I think that experience really is contributed so much to the person that I am now. And there's really no way we can be protected from things like that. But they encouraged me. I had an opportunity to come to New York when I was in high school with a newspaper journalist, a friend who I had met, actually, who had been a judge for some talent show that I'd been in. And she, as well as my parents, thought it would be nice for me to get away, get a little bit out from under that experience that we were all in the midst of. And that's really how I came to New York. But I think that experiencing what I did with my brother really made me realize that you can't live life with regrets. No one knows how long we will be on this plane of existence. And I think it makes you, it made me a much braver person, made me a much fiercer person. It made me have more courage when it came to, you know, being true to myself and being really honest about what I wanted in life. I thought, okay, now I have this opportunity. I'm going to take it, not just sit back and dream about it.
When you went to New York in high school, you lived with your cousin Rip Torn, who later became famous as Larry Sanders' sidekick. How did he feel about taking you in?
He was just wonderful. You know, he was close, very close family, and I think he was glad to do that for me. And he has always been a great inspiration for me. He's an incredible actor. He's an incredible dramatic actor, and as you mentioned, he's a great, great comedian as well.
I think when you got to New York, you wanted to not only act, you wanted to be a singer-songwriter. And I've read that you recorded a single called "John, You've Gone Too Far This Time,"
and it was actually a good single. It was a good song, certainly on the gimmicky side, but I did do that. And actually, when I came to New York, I wasn't interested in acting because Rip was so fantastic, such a fantastic actor, that, you know, that position in the family was already taken. And I music was my thing, and that record that you talk about was also a great learning experience for me. I wrote my own music, and I was very dedicated to my music. I was a real serious musician, but I had the opportunity at one point to make this record, and they were they had a name picked out for the artist. They had the song was written. They all they needed was a girl.
Right.
To step into that persona. And there I was. Oh, I was ready. It was going to be my big break.
But it was a song that criticized John Lennon for having gone too far on the Two Virgins cover, being naked with Yoko. Is that what it was about?
I wouldn't say it was criticizing. The main thing that did for me was it made me realize that I did not want to, I wanted to be myself and I wanted to do my own music. So
rather than stepping into this manufactured identity that they
right.
come
so
up
I was
with.
Very lucky. I had all these, as young people, we have a lot of, life deals out a lot of experiences, and I've been very fortunate that I survived.
Sissy Spacek is starring in the new movie In the Bedroom. It's opened in New York and L.A. and opens in 20 other cities Christmas Day. This is Fresh Air.